Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have an amazing sex life. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com for a wealth of free resources, including the complete podcast archive. And if you go to pleasuremechanics.com/free, you will find our free mini courses. Start with the erotic essentials, and we will deliver essential sex advice straight to your inbox so you can get started improving your sex life. You can also suggest topics for future podcasts, or ask questions, or record a voicemail message with feedback on something you've heard on the podcast by going to pleasuremechanics.com/hello. We love hearing from you, and as we're recording this, it's a brand new year. It's 2017. Hello, 2017. What have you in store for us? We do not know. We took last week off because we were both a little bit sick and under the weather, and the last thing we wanted to do was be coughing and hacking in your ear holes.
So polite.
Not sexy. So we took the first week off of 2017, but we are back. We're excited to bring you more beautiful podcast episodes this year. And we love hearing from you, and we love when you let us know what you love, what you want to hear more about, and what's going on in your own lives. So be in touch. PleasureMechanics.com is our online home, and you are always welcome. How's that?
Lovely.
All right. So late last year, around the holidays, we received an email. And we are going to be addressing that today. It's about an issue I think we all struggle with on some level or another. And I think it goes deep into the roots of our sex culture and how this pessimistic, evil sex culture has infiltrated our sex lives and affected us all. So we're going to kind of get right to it. Right? Let's dive into some sexual ethics for the beginning of the year. All right.
Gosh, a nice light subject.
I know. We thought about doing, you know, adult diaper fetish, but we landed on this one instead. All right, so Charlotte's going to get us started reading the question submitted by a listener, and we will dive right in. Here she goes.
Dear Pleasure Mechanics, thank you for your podcast and all you do.
You're welcome.
Listening has been great for my attitudes about sex. Recovering Catholic here. I have a question for you, something that has been bothering me for the 10 plus years of my marriage. I seem to have a higher libido than my wife and struggle with the ethics of initiating sex. Once we get started, she enjoys sex and I focus a lot of time on her pleasure, even more now thanks to your advice. But she never initiates. When I do, I feel like I'm being selfish, like I'm pushing my own agenda on her. And once we are in bed, I feel selfish if I ever take a moment to really just enjoy sex. Like when she's giving me oral sex, I feel like I need to do something to make her feel good. Is this normal? Basically, I want to be a good husband and respect her, but if I never initiated, we'd never end up in bed. Is it selfish of me to ask for sex when I want it? Thanks, Dan.
Well, first of all, thank you, Dan, for being in touch. And when I read this email, the word selfish reminded me of a study I had once seen. And so I dug down into the archives of my brain and found this study back online. And the study basically says that selfish lovers are better in bed. And we're going to dive into what this study really looked at and reported. But I think this word selfish and the fear of being selfish holds a lot of us back when it comes to receiving pleasure, initiating sex, asking for the sex we want. It's as if we all need to kind of keep our libidos and our sexual demands on a low simmer because we're afraid of overwhelming our partner or being selfish or being greedy. And I think this affects both men and women. And it's a force in our sex lives that we need to kind of excavate and root out and replace with a more authentic sense of generosity and reciprocity and the idea that asking for sex is not a bad thing, that asking for intimacy is not a bad thing in a relationship. It's not like you're asking someone to do you a favor. You're inviting someone into an experience that, if all goes well, is mutually pleasurable. And so why do we have this response to sex as if it's something that's selfish and greedy and bad?
Well, I think answering that question is A,
lifetime of work.
It totally is. It involves looking at history, and that's beyond the scope of this podcast. But what can we do with that ingrained feeling of it is not okay, it's selfish? How do we address that and approach it, and how do we do that ethically? And that is what we will address.
So I looked at this study, and I'll link to the abstract of the study on the podcast episode notes for this show, which you'll find at pleasuremechanics.com. But basically, they looked at couples. Some were younger and some were older, older being over 30. And they looked at the motivations for sex and how basically they called it sexually self-focused each person was, and then correlated that with their sexual satisfaction. So this study researched 60 couples, half between the ages of 18 and 25, and the other half over the age of 30. I love, by the way, that they're defining older couples as over 30. That's fantastic. But they looked at motivations for having sex and then levels of sexual satisfaction. And they were looking at this correlation, thinking that they were going to find that the more motivated you were by your partner's pleasure, the better lover you were, the more satisfied both you and your lover reported to be. Surprisingly, what they found is that the highest level of sexual self-focus was correlated with the highest levels of sexual satisfaction. And so the headlines around this, when it was reported to the media, all said, selfish people are better lovers, and selfish makes you better in bed. And they used this word selfish, which is why it stuck in my head when I read this email. And so what I want to look at is this idea of sexual self-focus, what that means, and how it relates to being selfish. What do these two things have in common? How are they different? And what does this study and our pleasure mechanics wisdom suggest about how to be best in bed and be most sexually satisfied? Because that's what we all want, ultimately. So let's look at this term, sexual self-focus.
So I love that term, actually. I think it is really different than selfish. It means so many different things, and I think it's allowing us to pay attention to our own pleasure. It's allowing us to prioritize our own pleasure and think that it matters in the bedroom, and that our partner can take time and energy to focus on giving us pleasure, and that we make space in our bedroom and in our sex life for that to be a priority.
Well, in this study, they studied it in a couple different ways. One was around motivations for initiating sex. And so they asked things like, how often do you have sex to satisfy your own sexual needs? And how often do you have sex because you feel horny? And then they looked at how willing you are to ask for what you want or express your sexual desires. So it was those two things, both your reasons for having sex and then how you behaved in bed. And what they defined as sexually self-focused, I'm saying, is just kind of, as you said, you own your sexuality and you're willing to put it out there and you're willing to ask for what you want and you're willing to have sex because you want to. Like, why is that such a radical idea?
Right, that you are desiring to have sex for your own pleasure and for your partner's, but partly for your own pleasure, and so you're initiating, and that has an element of self-focus to it.
Well, the opposite in this study was the idea that you have sex because your partner wants to.
Mm.
And what I was thinking about as I was reflecting on this question and this study was, if everyone just waited until spontaneously both partners were ripe and ready and excited about sex, none of us would ever have sex.
Even though that's what the movies represent every single time.
Right. It's like this lusty moment of perfect chemistry and you collide together and kiss, kiss, fuck, fuck, and you're done and you're basking in the afterglow. That's not how it happens in our lives. Someone needs to initiate sex. And I think the idea that initiating sex is selfish or being willing to receive pleasure is selfish comes from our sex negative history, and it holds a lot of us back. I also think there's this concept that both people need to be really in the mood for sex. And what studies show us that women especially have what's called responsive desire. And we've done episodes on this before. If you go to the sex index at pleasuremechanics.com and look up responsive desire, you'll find these episodes. And it's a really important concept, and we should talk about it more, because what it shows us is that most women have responsive rather than spontaneous desire. So instead of just being like, hey, I really love to fuck right now, that sounds great, they have to be seduced into that. So your partner approaches you and they give you loving touch and your brain says, oh, that feels good, what's next? And then they kiss you and you're like, ooh, that was nice too, what's next? And it builds from there. It's a response to positive stimuli. And we all need to embrace this concept of responsive desire. That's another show. But I think this idea that to be an ethical and good husband, you need to wait until she's asking for sex is a falsehood. So how do we approach this idea of being self-focused while rooting out the negatives of being selfish? Like, how do we make being self-focused a positive thing?
Well, it sounds like you are having sex that is taking into account her pleasure. And so even though you're initiating because you would like to experience pleasure, you're also offering her pleasure. And that's what matters. If you were initiating sex for your own pleasure and not taking into account her pleasure, that would be selfish and not cool.
Okay, so to highlight that difference, you're not asking for sex and then just like doing what you want to her body and using her as a toy and not taking her experience into account. So selfish lovers...
which is so uncool.
Yeah. By the way. So selfish lovers are in it just for themselves and kind of use another person as a fuck toy, as a... Charlotte grimaces.
Yeah.
Uses another person to gratify their own needs rather than understanding it as a mutual experience. So no matter how you initiate, who's initiating it, whose pleasure is really being focused on at the moment, we always need to remember that when we're having sex with someone else, both of your experiences must be taken into account, and you always need to stay aware and focused on how the other person is feeling. And as soon as you lose sight of that, yeah, you might slip into the selfish lover category. But you can be lying back and receiving a blowjob and just in your own glory. And as long as you're aware that she's having fun and she's consenting and is excited about it, there's nothing selfish about that. In fact, it's a beautiful gift to give, to allow someone to give you pleasure. Because most of us love being in that role of giving pleasure. So that's one crucial difference, is being aware of both people's experience, what both of you are feeling and thinking throughout the sexual experience.
And that it's actually incredibly important to let yourself savor that experience and really soak in the pleasure of it. She is giving you a gift, you are receiving the gift fully, and you are also making it pleasurable for her by really enjoying her effort and gift and
being grateful.
Being grateful and experiencing it. When we hold back and, you know, are cautious because we don't want her to feel put upon or worried she's stressed out or not really wanting to, then you're not really enjoying it. She's putting on all this effort and it just kind of falls flat. And this is the key, I think. Right. This is the point of being self-focused, letting yourself really enjoy receiving.
Right. Think about cooking a big meal and you've gone shopping and planned the meal and put all this effort into cooking it, and the person you serve it to like kind of picks it and like moves it around on their plate and then eats a few bites and are like, yeah, it's okay. Like, I'm just not that hungry. Versus someone who digs in and asks for seconds and is like, oh, what spice is this? And this is delicious, and fully savors the experience of that meal. Way more fun to cook for that person. That person's getting an invite back to my dinner party. This ability to receive is beneficial to you both. I think another crucial difference here that makes someone selfish versus self-focused is the ability to receive refusal or to be rejected without being a baby about it. And so if you're initiating sex and your wife just isn't in the mood and is like, hi, honey, oh, I see that you're feeling this way, but I can't really go there right now. I'm not really in the mood. You know, like, no,
I have a lot
you.
On my mind. Yeah.
If you can be in that moment with her and instead of being like, oh, fine, I'll just bleh, and like pout away and make her feel bad about that, I think that's really selfish, is when you're putting your own needs above someone else's, not understanding where they are in the moment and making your own needs so needy and urgent that the person feels like they have to like...
they have to say yes or they're going to have a big emotional...
right.
...thing for days or weeks.
Right. If you can be with her authentically in each moment and understand that sometimes she might be in the mood just to make out, sometimes she might be in the mood to, you know, fool around, but not all the way have sex. And, you know, it's like being able to be in each authentic sexual moment, no matter how horny you're feeling, but be able to have options and go with a flow, and the fact that you're not needy. Like, you have desire, but you're not needy. I think that's sexual self-focused of, this is what I want, this is what I'm in the mood for, what are you in the mood for? Versus, this is what I need for me right now or else.
Uh-huh. But it's also okay to make an invitation, and if you get, if the person is like, actually, I can't do that right now, it's okay to be like, oh, that hurts, that sucks, and I get that, that totally makes sense. Okay, go do your thing. It's okay to also feel a little rejected and hurt. Like, that is a, it is a kind of a painful moment for a lot of us, and is why so many people eventually stop asking if there has been a lot of refusal.
And that's a lot of it is how you're rejected or how you're refused, and we should do another episode on this. We've talked about it before, but it's essential, is how to initiate sex gracefully and refuse or accept that invitation gracefully. But I think selfish lovers make other people feel bad if they can't fully attend to their needs. Like, if you're not getting everything you want in all the moments, then, like, you're a big baby about it. Versus understanding that you might have a higher libido, and you might have needs that are unmet, and that's part of being in a relationship, and that's okay. And you have to own your own sexuality and masturbate to take care of your own needs. Fantasize. Like, your partner is not responsible for fulfilling all of your sexual desires. And you can be really self-focused and understand your sexual desires and enjoy the fullness of your sexuality without demanding anyone else fulfills those needs for you.
Though hopefully they want to be a part of fulfilling some of them.
Okay, but I'm going to push you a little bit here. So I've been really sick this past year. I've been sexually unavailable in a lot of ways. And you have your own sexuality, and I think understanding, and like, you never put pressure on me and made me feel bad that I couldn't tend to your needs in the way I used to. Like, it was never used against me as a weapon. And this is one of the things that I think allowed us to get through this really hard period resent-free.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, how do you understand this difference between expecting that your partner will participate in your sexuality and, like, be a good sexual partner versus understanding that that might not always be the case? Things come up in life, there are stressful periods. Like, how do you understand that balance?
I think there's moments, for instance, you, for those who don't know, Chris was really, really ill this whole year and just coming out of it now, and it's awesome. But I think I really understood that we were in a particular season that wasn't the regular or ongoing experience of
how
togetherness.
It would always be.
Yeah, and so it was like there was this sort of, it's not a grace period because it was, but there's that period of like, this is a different thing than normal. We are in a different moment and we need to just do what we can now. And I need to take care of myself. I get that you're unavailable right now for very good reason. We're focused on survival, and I'll focus on myself. And I feel like that's the moment where I feel like, it was really helpful to have this philosophy that we are always responsible first, primarily for our own sexuality. Ideally, we share it with our partner. And when we're not in ideal situations, then you go back to yourself and take care of yourself as best as you can. And I trusted and hoped that we would come back out of that. And when you were feeling better, that we would be reconnecting and that would be fine. Mm-hmm. Which is the case. So I think that there's a difference between the ongoing how it is in relationships, where if somebody isn't interested in participating in your pleasure, there's a much larger conversation to have versus you're having a really stressful time. However long that time is, you're in a moment.
Right.
So that feels different to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are a lot of long-term relationships that have that experience where they're not wanting to connect sexually for
another episode.
Yeah.
So this idea of being selfish versus self-focused, I think we've talked about a lot of the elements of it. Is there any other piece of selfishness that we want to root out of our sexual psyches?
I think fundamentally also asking for sex and wanting pleasure and wanting sex, we just need to highlight again that that in itself is not selfish and bad and wrong and sinful, which I think is really deep in our psychology and our belief system and our morality. And so we have to undo that and reframe this for ourselves really deeply, that asking for pleasure, that creating moments of pleasure is a beautiful, connecting, loving,
healthy,
holy,
wholesome
experience that is an invitation, like inviting somebody to a feast or a celebration or a party. Like that's what's happening. You're not inviting them to sin, you're inviting them to celebrate. And
wow. Speaking to the recovering Catholic here.
Yeah.
But I think there is that moment, right? So it's, we think that sex is kind of naughty and bad and indulgent and greedy, and it's in this kind of category of like the most indulgent chocolate cake.
And that's bad for you.
It's bad for you. Quote unquote.
Yeah.
But so good. And if we ask for another slice, then we're just way too hedonistic and we're asking for something more. And when really, maybe sex is the apple. It's the most wholesome, yummy, healthy version of something sweet that we should have one every day and keep the doctor away. You know what I mean? Not that we're having sex every day. But this idea that sex is like bad and naughty, I think, makes asking for it feel like I'm doing something wrong and it's not really a good thing to ask. And how often can I get away with it?
Mm.
Is, I think, a theme I see in a lot of the emails we get is, you know, how do I get away with asking for more? Instead of how do I create the conditions in our relationship where sexual intimacy and connection will happen more frequently because we both want it to. We both recognize it's good for us. It's good for our relationship. It's good for our family.
It feels good.
It feels good. And it's good for our everything, right? Like, yeah. It's good for our souls, our bodies, our relationship, our family. Like, the ripple effects of sex are really positive. And again, when we say sex, we're not talking about intercourse. We're talking about everything from kissing in the kitchen for a few extra moments where you're present and really savoring one another's touch and that connection, to all out weekend fests of fucking, right? Like, there's the whole spectrum there. It all counts. It all is feeding your intimacy. And so initiating moments of sex, if we understand them as healthy, wholesome, good for us, is not selfish. It's actually generous. It's saying, hey, I have a moment. Let's create some sort of connection. And then it's up to both of you in that moment to feel out what connection is authentic for both of you at the same time.
But the only way you can figure that out authentically is to have each of you have a level of self-focus,
right,
to figure out what feels authentic right then. Of like, I am feeling into my energy level, my interest, and what I would like is X, Y, and Z.
And because of responsive desire, the willingness to just allow it to begin.
Hmm.
Without the expectation it's going to go to any specific destination, the willingness just to meet your partner's desire and be like, hey, hi, we're here. All right. Like, I can be present with you in this moment without any idea of what's coming next, but let's just kiss. Let's just hug. Let's just allow our bodies to come together. I can be here right now. And if neither of us are selfishly demanding any specific outcome, then we can allow this moment to be what it is. And that might lead to sex. It might lead to a foot massage. It might lead to a little spanking. Like, who knows where the destinations might go. But what we're doing is we're both being self-aware, self-focused, in tune with our own bodies and our own needs, and allowing one another to meet there. That's what's important here. So,
and we've talked about that in a lot of other episodes.
That what? The idea that this sex is not intercourse? Or?
Yeah, the sex is not intercourse, and that when we say we are interested in connecting in some way, that doesn't necessarily mean we're interested in sex right now. Right. That there is this trajectory, or there is this range of sexual activities that we can do, and if we set up in our relationship this idea that we might have a sex date, or we might have a time where we can connect, but that it is open-ended and negotiable in the moment, it allows us to show up with more interest. Because for some women, it's like, well, I don't feel like sex right now, so I'm just going to say no.
Right.
But if you want to give me a foot massage, that would be awesome. And then maybe that'll lead to sex, maybe it won't. But it's a really different, it's a really different understanding of when you're connecting what you're expected to do.
Right.
And undoing that in a relationship can actually lead to so much more sex.
Right. So in the study's paper, it concludes, quote, not only may it be important to attend to a partner's sexual needs, but also one's own, in order to ensure the satisfaction of one's partner. In terms of relationship counseling, new programs may find positive outcomes by considering the role of personal sexual fulfillment as a factor influencing partner satisfaction. Which is all fancy pants talk for saying it's important to attend to your own sexuality as well as your partner's, and your partner can only be satisfied if you are.
And that sexual fulfillment, your sexual fulfillment, is essential for your partner's sexual satisfaction.
Yes.
And that is a big statement that is sort of obvious and sort of not. But I think, especially for women, I think of women who are cautious about receiving oral sex and just like really understanding that if you let yourself enjoy and experience pleasure, your partner is going to be happier and you're going to be happier. And that is awesome for everyone.
We all need to give and receive. And, you know, this episode, it touches on so many themes and topics we've talked about before. So dig into our podcast archives over at pleasuremechanics.com, and we'll continue to give voice to these philosophies of sex as they're emerging. But I think what's really important here is to fully embrace the idea that your sexuality is a positive, healthy thing. And as a recovering Catholic and as a recovering human on this planet, I think we're all in this boat of really having to take on that mentality that sex is positive, healthy, good for us. And coming from that place, knowing that expressing desire, initiating sex, asking for sexual connection is not a bad thing. It's a gift. And the true gift is making each of those moments of asking for connection a beautiful, authentic moment of desire, intimacy, connection, being like, I love you. I'm desiring you. You're sexy to me. Hi.
I would love to give you pleasure.
Here I am. Like, here we are just in this moment together. What now? And if we can come at it from that place, it doesn't feel needy, it doesn't feel selfish, it doesn't feel greedy. It really just feels like two people showing up for the party and seeing what fun they can have.
And that when you make that request, you're okay with any outcome.
All right, so we hope this episode helped you, and be in touch with us with any follow-up. If you have any thoughts or reflections on this episode, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com/hello. And leave us a voicemail. You can do it right on the page. You just click a button and talk into your computer, and we get an awesome voicemail that we can use in future episodes. Or, of course, you can always email us, be in touch with us at pleasuremechanics.com. We love hearing from you. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.